Started. Thanks for being here tonight for the April 2010 ECAC meeting. I'm Mark Turner, the chair, and we have Van Alstyne here, the vice chair, right here, and Sue Sturgis, our secretary, and Charlene Willard is our community services representative. And do we have our reporter here too? Okay, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, Rebecca, that's right. So Rebecca Fernandez is our reporter. Thank you. And we also are streaming this once again on the internet, so if you can't make the meetings, you're certainly welcome to watch online. If you haven't signed in already, please be sure you do so that we can put you on the newsletter mailing list. You can find out about things that are going on. Who here is here for the very first time? Okay, yes, quite a few hands. Excellent. All right, well, thank you for being here. We've got a lot of cool things to talk about tonight. We've got Bianca Howard. Where's Bianca? I don't even see Bianca. Did she make it here? She's supposed to be here. If not, then we'll just go through the recycling bins here at the gym and hold up various things and close by. But she's supposed to be doing our presentation here. Hopefully we'll see her later on tonight. We also have Ronell Robinson, I guess, from the Food Lion. Manager of Food Lion is going to be here to talk to you. James Brantley has a word to say about the Z1809 case, the Pool Road two-year waiver request that was just made. So he'll be briefing us on that. And let's see, Wake Girls and Boys Club. Do we have anyone here from? Okay. Hopefully they'll be here too, because we asked them to speak here as well. Fortunately for them, it's not a very far walk to get from there here. Okay, let's see. We do have the minutes posted online. We've got a summary in our newsletter. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes? Okay, we have a motion. Second, anyone? Okay, all in favor, say aye. Any discussion? Any requests or corrections or anything? All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, good. Minutes are approved. Success reports for this month. Charlene would like to say a few things about the... Yeah, but you have to come up here to the microphone because we're online now. We're doing this all high-tech.
All right.
Please don't trip over the cables.
Oh, yeah.
We're all online.
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm Charlene Willard, the community specialist for the ECAC. And if you came in the door and didn't get one of these yellow forms, I'd ask that you fill it out. And we are taking a survey of the Community Services Department, which is where I work. And we would really appreciate your feedback on how we're doing, what you know about us, and how we can improve. So if you would do that, if you fill this out and turn it in, put it on that chair on your way out, I certainly appreciate it. And also, I am the coordinator for the Raleigh Neighborhood College, and I think we have some attendees tonight. Would y'all stand up? Yay! Let's join us too, Lynn Sullivan and Michael Dixon. Y'all have any good words about the Neighborhood College?
It's great.
It's great? That's two good words, okay? Lynn is actually a city employee.
And here comes Bianca, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you all know about it, but it's a course offered twice a year.
Uh-huh. Two sessions.
And it's just a great way to learn about the city of Raleigh, how it's governed and how it does business. And like we get to go to the 911 comm center and the TV station and the wastewater treatment plant, and we've had budget and finance people come talk, and the parks and rec people, and you know, all the different departments come and tell you what their departments do and how they do it. So it's really quite enlightening, and I'm a new employee, so I thought I'd do it. It's been great.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And here's Bianca, the recycling queen, of Raleigh. Right?
Is my turn?
We'll wait and
see.
The ECAC worked with Service Raleigh, I guess that was two weekends ago, and we coordinated with Service Raleigh about, I think it was about 40 volunteers, and they collected over 50 bags of trash. So that was fantastic. And if you went down Raleigh Boulevard for 3 days, it looked really beautiful.
Okay,
I was actually on vacation during that time, and Van took over making sure to get those volunteers where they needed to go. So thanks, Van, for stepping up and doing that. I really appreciate it, and the neighborhood does too. We also have snacks, by the way, that was brought courtesy of Food Lion on the back table there. Feel free to get up anytime and help yourself to them. They all look good. In fact, I might be back there for the rest of the meeting, so see if the microphone will stretch or something. But go ahead and help yourself if you'd like. Let's see.
And yes. Elva Fields also provided the paperware, the water.
Oh, yes. Is Belva here tonight?
That's exactly.
Okay, that's right. She had another thing. But yes, thanks to Belva for doing that. It was very very kind of her. And we're looking forward to working very closely with Food Lion. And I'll give you a moment here to speak here in just a moment. In fact, let's see. Anybody else have any other good news success reports to share with anybody? Raise your hands. If not, okay, that's fine. Cool. All right, well, we'll continue then. And Rhino, if you'll come up, speak to us a little bit, and tell us what's going on. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you. How everybody doing today? I represent Food Lion. I know from you, I haven't seen a few of y'all in the store at all. just wanted to say the store has changed. I was brought in to do some community things because I graduated from St. Aug. And also, I have a nonprofit organization that we're going to do some things. I know the first thing we're going to do is May 1st. We got a customer appreciation day from 12 to 4, which will be hot dogs, hamburgers, and fried fish, which is free from Food Lion and also the Give Back organization. I just wanted to address any issues that y'all might have with the store. Please give me a call or talk to me in the store, and we address those issues and try to make it better for the customers. And also, the area is getting a little better. I know Raleigh PD is doing some things with cleaning up the area. And also, I'm trying to address in the areas, and I know we're going to do a collaboration with Raleigh PD, with my nonprofit, to try to give the kids something else to do than staying around the store, the shopping area, where it just, I guess, it discourages some of y'all by coming by, because I know they just stand around, and it's just crazy. But I leave some cards here to address any issues. Give me a call, and also look at the website for my nonprofit organization, which we partner with Food Line and Raleigh PD. I know we talked with Raleigh PD of doing some things. I want to bring to this side of town, which I was housed at St. Augustine's College after school program from 5 to 9, which was Monday through Thursday, to help kids with education. Also, I leave some business cards for that, so you can look at the website. I'm also working on a project of trying to bring a vocational school back to Wake County, which I think stopped back in the 80s, which is a very much needed, because a lot of kids do not want to go to college at all. So a vocational school would be a great thing for North Carolina, because there's not one in North Carolina at all. So if you have any questions, give me a call. I'll leave some business cards here. If you have any questions now, I answer. But other than that, just let me know, and I'm glad to appreciate everybody to come back to the store, because I think about 3 months ago, they was going to shut the food line down because they was losing a lot of money because of theft. And I know we started closing at 9, which we wasn't making a lot of money between 9 and 10. Actually, we was making maybe 5,000, and 6,000 was walking out the door. That's why we closed an hour early. But want to address that and try to make it better. Yeah, the math is kind of tough. So, but I'm thinking if it's going to be an issue, let me know. I talked to my district manager. She wanted to come tonight, but she had another meeting with her manager. They try to go from the summertime from 9 to 10, stand open to 10, and then back to the winter, back to 9 o'clock. So if it's an issue, let me know, and I'll try to address anything that you have. Yes, sir.
Would you please try and make it a habit of coming every couple months and let us know how things are progressing? I'm particularly interested in the vocational school.
Yes. Anything you need me to do, I'll be here. Yes, ma'am.
Why do you close one of the doors early in the evening?
We close that one at 7, just because we have less people in the store to monitor that side, and that's where a lot of people walk out with meat and things of that nature. Yeah, I was at Southgate the other day, and I watched a guy walk out with 4 bags of meat. So it happens. It happens. Yes, sir.
Are you doing any type of seminar?
Right now, I just have it on paper, and I've been talking to people. Trying to find out where would be the best location. The best location I see right now is the old Winn-Dixie and the old Harris Teeter off New Bern, because it's still on the bus line, so it wouldn't be an issue with, like, Wake Tech has one way on Capitol, but a lot of the people say they can't get there because of transportation. So it's in the working. Anything else?
What's your nonprofit?
It's the Give Back organization.
The Give Back?
Yes. And the website is gbocares.org.
I'm sorry.
gbocares.org or .com. But I'll leave some business cards here so y'all can have that. Anything else?
And the goal of your nonprofit is to promote?
The goal is actually why I started the organization was after I had a motorcycle accident. And I grew up in Salisbury, and we didn't have a lot of programs to address a lot of issues that a lot of kids face now. I guess when I'm growing up, it was a little different because I was scared. My parents were scared, like, yo, what is our lives going to be like with this younger generation? And I look at it now as, yo, it's going to be kind of hard because they don't have a lot of goals. And then with parents being as young as they are, like I'm 32, and some people have 3 or 4 kids about the same age, about 10 years old. So they don't have a good sense of direction right now. So I want to provide that. And also I have another program I want to do is cyberspace, teaching elderly more about the web and connecting with younger folks and different things of that nature. So I got a lot of things I want to do, but it's going to take me some time. Food Line is taking away a little bit of my time. Anything else? and I'm glad to be a part of y'all team.
All right.
Thank you, Ronell. Put these over here on the table. If anybody wants to take them, they can pick them up. Once again, thanks to Food Lion for our refreshments tonight. That's very appreciated. Okay, with that, let's turn it over to Officer Chris Kobiak to discuss the crime trends in the area. Turn it over to you.
How's everybody doing tonight? For all the new people, I'm Officer Chris Kobiak, a.k.a. Crisco. It's a lot easier to say. As far as Mark was talking before, the success stories, you can just look here and tell us the success story. When I first came in here, it was 2.5-3 pages long every time we were here. It's a page and a half, okay? Most of these, well, are larceny from motor vehicles. It's just us being knuckleheads and not locking our vehicles, leaving our GPSs out, leaving our laptops on the vehicle seats, you know, unlocking windows, leaving windows down. I think there were 17 larcenies from motor vehicle. One of them, only one of them, was not, I'm going to say, your error. Only one of them was a forced entry with nothing left out, nothing open, just they just broke in the vehicle. And I think on that one, they punched the lock. So it was a pretty professional kind of person that did it, because not just anybody can punch a lock. But so out of those 17, only one of those, actually, I'm sorry, two of them. One was by force and the other one was a lock punch. So 15 of them were just a result of unlocked windows, windows down, GPS system still up in the windshield, laptops, purses, iPods just laying out in plain view. I know one thing that we don't want to happen is the Raleigh Police has these tickets that say lock, hide, and I think something else. We don't want to end up putting those on there. Yeah, lock, take, and hide. To me, that's just like an invitation. Hey, this car is unlocked and there's stuff, something in it. But if it gets real bad, they're going to start making us hand those out on your cars. And I want to refrain from doing that just because I don't agree with it. Other than that, we had 55 Part 1 crimes. We normally have about 75 to 115 is what we normally average. Just a couple, I had supposed to have a meeting with the chief last month, but it got canceled. In that meeting, I ran some numbers from the crime analyst. The crime in this area for the year that we've had a community police officer take over has been down 4%. So I think that's a very good success story right there. 4%, it may not seem a lot, but it is. What else do we have going on? We had 9 assaults, aggravated assaults. Out of those 9, one of them was just a random one, but it was kind of, after reading the report, it's kind of like not so random, but the victim wasn't being cooperative. The victim didn't want to write a report. It was just Wake Med called us there. We took the report because she was assaulted. She gave any information, didn't want to tell anything. So we had to write a report anyway. So we don't know what happened there. By reading it, I think it was drug related, but I can't say that it was because it wasn't written in there, but it goes with the norm of a lot of drug related assaults. We had 2 assaults at Club Envy. They were same incident. The rest of them were domestic violence related. We had, actually, one was kind of bothering me. We had 3 out of 9 burglaries, residential burglaries, 3 of them were forced. The rest of them were kind of like open windows, back door was open. And I think one of them, the victim said that it was her son's friends that had broken in her house forcefully. But other than that, there's 3. One was forced through the back door. So make sure, I know that Wake County, it's either Wake County or the city requires you have at least 1 deadbolt lock on your door, whether front or back. I suggest 2. I mean, they're going to force it in. You might as well make them work for it. So when they get caught, they got to pay more money in restitution. But I have 2 in my house so that they come in the back and the front. They're going to be met up with a bolt lock. Another one was that first one, the back door was out on Rawls Drive. I believe that's an apartment out there. The other one was on Gibby, another apartment that was forced through the front door. And then there was one at 2501 Newbern that was forced. The alarm company, or the alarm went off, and the subject fled. So he didn't get anything out of that one. we had 10 larcenies. Out of those larcenies, only one of them I would be concerned about, and it was a credit card fraud. We all know what to do with that. Make sure you have your credit cards. Check your bank statements regularly. If you see something abnormal, call your bank, cancel your card, do all that stuff that you need to do, but just make sure that you are checking your bank statements and all that stuff every time they come in. I know I have a habit of just putting them aside because I know what I spend, but there's sometimes if you order stuff online, I had it happen to another officer. He ordered something off the line. Somebody fished and got his stuff. It was spent over $600 on his credit card before he even knew it. And now that they're in the process, because it happened, I think it was like in Bangalore, India, or something like that. And it, you know, who knows who gets your money back? Sometimes you just take the loss. But you got to be more cognizant of what you do with your credit cards online. Other than that, we had five motor vehicle thefts. One was a Caterpillar work excavator. One was a repossessed vehicle, which I don't know why they wrote it up as a theft. I know why. Because the person whose vehicle it was had admitted to avoiding the repo company and went and parked it somewhere else and then came back and it was gone. So, I don't know what happened with that one. So it technically you have to write it up as stolen motor vehicle. Another one was somebody's mother took their vehicle. And I guess one we had from the it was a golf cart. A juvenile took a golf cart from the Raleigh Country Club. And then there was just one that happened on Rumson Road, which was random. So out of those five, only one was random. We had one rape, which was... I had trouble reading the report. It didn't make any sense. And like the time frames and going from this place, it didn't really make any sense. But they say it happened over here on Timber Drive. And it was just a woman who solicited a ride to go somewhere and offered the guy offered her $25 for a ride, and then something happened. She fell asleep several times during the ride, didn't know where she was going, and woke up on Timber Drive with the guy getting out of the vehicle, and, I don't want to go too much in depth, but the guy got out of the vehicle apparently and raped her. But she didn't want to report it or anything like that, and she didn't want to give up her clothes for the rape kit and all that stuff. So that's kind of shady too. A lot of times when that happens, it's drug or prostitution related, but I can't say that it is, but that's the way it looks. Normally when they don't want to give any information, that's why. They just want to be helped and get out of that situation real fast and want nothing to do with it. And we had three robberies. And one really shouldn't be a robbery. It should just be a purse snatching, because that's what it was, a purse snatching. They wrote it up as a robbery, technically. That was at Food Lion. But with all those, we do have a success story. Wake County Sheriff did evict Messiah Fashions. They're out of there completely. I went by there today. I couldn't stop anybody. There was nobody there to stop. There was no vehicles in the parking lot. There was no gangbangers hanging around. There was no loitering. There was no trash out in front of there. There was nothing. It was like empty. That side of the parking lot was empty. And we tried. That's all we did today with our squad was go out and hit all the hot spots, and we couldn't get anything off of where Messiah Fashion is. And we normally run into like 20 or 30 people there every day. There was nobody. So he's out. We were supposed to go to court with him last month, and I believe they made a deal, and his charges are still pending on that one. But other than that, I think May 1st, we have the build here, right? We also have, I believe that's when Ronell's doing his thing at Food Lion. I will be both places. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'll switch back and forth. So I do encourage all of you guys to come out. I'm going to try and get some more police officers to come out for both of Food Lion and for this. Other than that, we're still waiting on the office. I don't know. I think Mark has a meeting with the chief sometime soon. I will
if I don't already.
Yes. I'm supposed to inquire about that. But anyway, it's looking good. It's cleaning up right now. I'm having problems at the Friendly Shopping Center over there adjacent to Wake Med, across from Walgreens near Club Envy. A lot of trespassing. I don't know, has anybody frequented that place and had trouble with people begging for money and following you into the store, stuff like that? Well, I got a call up there. I think it's Teddy's, spoke to him. Immediately located the person they were talking about trespassing, and he hasn't been up there in a few days, so that's looking pretty good. So if you're scared to go there, you can go back. I know who he is, took pictures. He lied to me at first, went back, sent out an email. Somebody, another officer had ran into him at another place. We found out who he was. So next time I see him, I'm going to promptly take him to jail for basically lying to me.
Okay.
He was delaying my investigation, so by giving me the false name. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. On the CAC discussion list, there was an email about a car that had been smashed on Stevens Road, and I didn't see anything except an aggravated assault on Stevens Road.
Yes, that was probably just a damage to property or something like that. And this, I normally just bring the part one crimes, like the robberies and all that stuff. If you would like me to bring information,
that's what I was wondering. But then they found the person in the yard.
On Stevens Road?
Yeah. I just happen to know the girl, which is why I looked for it.
Okay. Now I can take a look for that and have that and email that to you if you want information on it.
Back to 3%.
Well, that's good. If only one crime was down to 3%, because you don't have much crime out there. But my next, Raleigh North is doing really good. We haven't had a lot of problems out there. They've pretty much been policing themselves. So my next focus is going to be going out to Calumet Drive and Holston Lane. If anybody lives in that area, you want to give information or anything that's going on in trouble areas, let me know. I will need some help out there just because it's primarily Hispanic, and there's a lot of crimes that do go undetected out there, and it's gonna be an effort. That's why I saved it for after Raleigh one, because it's such a huge complex, and I know that Wake Med is willing to get involved. I know that Joiner Realty, who owns the Friendly Plaza, is willing to get involved. I know I've had several gang graffitis out there, and there's just a whole ton of robberies, Hispanic targeted robberies. So if anybody knows anything about that area, please let me know. If you're willing to get involved, if you can speak Spanish and are willing to help out there, it would be grateful. Because we don't have very many Spanish-speaking officers that work at the same time. And if they do, they normally ride the line and busy answering phone calls and stuff like that. So if you can help out, maybe volunteer with the... I'm going to get up to the office and see if they can help with volunteers, if they need people or have a hotline or something like that. Or maybe even... a comment box, which I'm trying to get at Raleigh. I was going to actually talk to Ronell. I'm going to try and get an RPD comment box, because you can see here, if you look to your left and to your right, there's not very many. It's not a big diversity of people that live in this area. It's primarily most of the people live over here and down to Ross, and there's a whole area that I'm trying to target that doesn't show up. And a lot of it is fear of the police. Maybe just they're not comfortable with the police, or not comfortable with being in this atmosphere. So I'm going to try and post up a comment box where they could just drop in anonymously, hey, this apartment or this house or this person, and then once a week I can go in there, pull them, and get that information. Because I do get letters from people every once in a while. They come in the mail, they come here. But if I can give them a central location where they can drop off information and I have to worry about it, not worry about being seen or me coming to their house, I think that will work real well. Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me what happened at 130 Longview Lake Drive? From mid-page, 416,
it
was a larceny last Friday.
Yes, yeah, somebody stole an air conditioning unit. So it wasn't something that happened in the middle of the night. It was probably something that happened in the middle of the night. And I don't know how big the air conditioning unit was. It didn't say in there, but if it's what's normally on the back of a house, it's pretty big, so they probably had to have a truck or something like that. They didn't go into, there's no suspect information. It was just that I think it was a rental property. They came back and saw that the air conditioning unit was taken.
It was empty because it was up for sale, and now it's apparently been sold, so we're hoping that things settle down. It's two houses down from
there.
Okay. And I didn't notice a thing.
A lot of times what they do is they come in at night, and they have they idle in, pull it, and go.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's really rarely anybody up to witness that.
I walk my dog at 2:30 in the morning.
Ask a question.
Yes.
You mentioned that you were the community police officer, and how, for those of us who haven't been here before, what does that mean as to what used to go on? I mean, how has your position changed?
How
are you doing it?
I've been here for a year. The community policing has started when Chief Dolan came in. About a year after he came in, he actually established a community policing squad, and we deal with community-oriented government. So there, once a month, actually we do ours on the 22nd, I believe, we meet with different departments within the city. And when we sit together, it's kind of like a round table. I tell them what problems I have. They say, okay, well, I'm with inspections. I can come out here and I can do this and help solve that problem. Or, waste management says, okay, well, like, we had that problem with the trash at the bus stops. I talked to Mr. White, who's the director of that, and he said once a week on Thursdays, I'll send three people out in a truck, and we'll go and look at those trash. Has it been happening? Has anybody seen them out there? If not, on our meeting, I will say something to them about it. If it hasn't been happening, has the trash still been really bad?
Well, you talking about
Scoop and Moon? I mean, wherever the complaints were, where there was trash at the bus stops.
Well, what they've done, I saw they've added another trash can. Mm-hmm. At that particular bus stop from me, which is on the corner of Culpeper and Bertie, that one there at the bus stop, they were pretty much empty that one. But now they put another plastic, big plastic trash can across the street, right there where that Mel Bar is. Down from the school, and I've seen trash on the street, across the street at the neighbor's house. Real matter of fact, at my house as well, you know, where bottles, you know, they come by and they throw out the window.
So it's still becoming a problem.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'll bring that up to them. But it's a big problem. Anybody else? To finish my answer. So we work together with different aspects of the city to think outside the box to solve crimes and to deter crimes and to clean up the community. And we still have the regular officers that answer 911 calls, but we also have one officer per CAC, like this is the ECAC, I'm here for this one. So whatever problems you guys give to me or email to me or call me, I do what I can to send officers out there, say like the trash problem. When we had that meeting, I spoke to Mr. White. We had speeding problems, so I spoke to the traffic enforcement union and tried to get them out, put the, I think it was Glasscock or one of the streets on the list for them to do speed monitoring. One of the biggest complaints was the Food Lion area in Raleigh North. So what I did is I approached the management at Raleigh North, and I didn't really give them all the ultimatum, but told them, hey, we have this thing called PROP. It's not good. You can lose your apartments, you know, the availability to rent your apartments for 2 years. So that's a lot of money. And I didn't need to coerce them. They wanted to come on the board, and they did. They did everything I told them to do. They did all the shrubberies. They started evicting people when that were problem units. They started getting people taken off Section 8 that were violating Section 8, that had gang members in their houses, that had drugs being sold out of their houses, robberies getting out of their houses, stuff like that. Then they started evicting them. And it got to the point where people were scared. Whenever the police showed up, they would say, you're not going to tell the management, are you? I don't live here. My girlfriend lives here, but don't tell the management. I'll leave right now. And it's like, no. No tolerance. For that whole summer, we had no tolerance. And now everybody knows. We've had maybe like 6 or 7 real big troublemakers and they're evicted. Gone. Taken off Section 8. They can never get a Section 8 housing before again in their lives. Because they were dealing with drugs, gangs, robberies, all that stuff. I mean, it sounds kind of cold and heartless, but sometimes you gotta make a stand. Do we keep giving them our hard-earned money for $16 a month rent while they're letting gang members sell drugs out of their house, while they're going to clubs and bringing people back to their house to get robbed? I mean, do we really want to support that? Mm-mm. I'd rather give my money to somebody else who's going to utilize it, because I grew up in an area where my mom was a single mother with 3 people, and she used it just long enough to get herself stable. And I come in here and I see people abusing it, and we're paying for it, and people were ignoring it. Mm-mm. It's not fair to everybody else in the neighborhood that's actually using it. The kids that are out there playing in the neighborhood, I've never seen so many kids out there in my life now that all these people have been evicted and the gangs are going away. And I hope that happens to Food Lion. Because now that Messiah Fashions is gone, there's nobody out there. Nobody. No gangbangers, nothing. It might, over summer, heat up a little bit, but that's what I'm there for. To make sure it doesn't happen. We're going to have bike patrols, we're going to have foot patrols, all that out there. This whole summer, because we're going to try and keep it as quiet, keep it down to that 4%, maybe bring it down even lower next year. And then with Ronell and I working together, we're going to start holding some more community events out there, getting everybody involved so that people will understand that it's a community now. It's not, okay, east or west of Raleigh Boulevard, it's the ECAC. Let's come together, have some fun, and do some community stuff. And I know Mark has a cleanup plan sometime this year, and you know, we'll bring some police officers out there and we'll help clean it up, but we need to all get involved to show that we're all willing to work together, and that's the only way it's really going to work. Yes?
Is there any updates on I think the last meeting we spoke about the Raleigh PD receiving federal money for federal, an this issue, and I think the last time we heard that you're just waiting for that to come through.
Yes, actually there was, and I apologize. I wrote it down. I was going to speak to it. Speak about it. The president has in his budget not a lot of money for the Project Safe Neighborhood Grant. As far as we know right now, it's not been written in. So that we're going to have to go through another grant to get money to do that, because as of right now, that grant is no longer existing. And that was the kind of grant that, you know, gave us money for all this. We're going to try and do the combined anti-gang initiative grant and take money out of there to help do that, but we have a year and a half left on that grant, and we've already used a lot of that money just doing a lot of gang suppression. So as right now, it's on hold as far as that. And I will keep you updated, and I have a meeting on the 11th with the chief and the rest of the command staff, and we'll find out more about that then. So hopefully by our next meeting, I'll have more information for you.
Where is the police department?
It's still at 1601 Crosslink Road, right adjacent to the library. Yes, ma'am.
I'm saying the main
station. Oh, the main station? 64, I've never been there, but I think 6 Forks Road, I believe it is. Yeah, it's right where 6 Forks and I think Sandy Fork split. It's right there. Did that? Did those two roads split? I'm not sure. But it's right up in there. It's hard to find.
6416 6 Forks Road. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Officer Christian. If anybody has any individual questions for Officer Crisco, maybe you can meet him out in the hall and address those.
We still have these two if you want to take one home. They're non-emergency concerns. Just write your name if you want to, information on what you want. Say there's a specific house, like somebody called up and said there's a certain house on Donnelly Road. Went and checked it out. We tried to do some investigative techniques, found out that there's really nothing much going on, just, you know, random stuff. But that really helps us out a lot. I can file it, put it in there, and I can write responses and write what we did on it and check up on it and email everybody about it. So if you have that information, feel free to fill it out, give it to Mark, or just email it to me.
Okay. Thank you very much, Officer Crisco. Officer Crisco mentioned something that I meant to mention during the success reports. The playground builds, Lions Park playground builds, is actually going to happen Saturday, May 1st in the morning. You have to be pre-registered if you want to help out, but they're looking for people that are 18 and over to come spend a couple hours putting together these pieces. And I found out from Cindy Trumbauer, who's the volunteer services coordinator with the Parks and Rec Department, they're not going to have as big a deal with this one as they do other ones. I think that the mulch, for instance, that they usually put at playgrounds is going to be delivered later. So that was one of the things that some of the other volunteers dealt with, you know, is keeping this mountain of mulch they had to spread at some of these other parks. I understand that that's not going to be an issue here. She's still looking for 20 volunteers. She's already got 40, so they have to get 60 total. And the contact information is right here if you want to give Cindy a call or send her an email and say that you're willing to do it. There's going to be refreshments all day. There's going to be balloons. It's going to be kind of a festive party atmosphere. So if you're looking for something fun to do on Saturday, May 1st, please consider coming out and helping us build our playground. Yes, ma'am.
She's down to about 50 now. I signed up my Saturday morning basketball league to take 10 of the spots.
15 now?
She's down to about 10 or 15 is what she needs.
Okay, 10 or 15. So there's still a couple of spots if you want to help with our neighborhood playground. So I thought I'd mention that too. Speaking of playgrounds and Parks and Rec, let me get Jason up here, if you would, to give us our Parks and Rec Department thing, and then we're going to hear from James Brantley from the Planning Department.
Hope everybody's doing well tonight. All right, just kind of a little introductory of myself. For those of you guys that don't know me, my name is Jason Clemens. I'm the assistant director here at Lions Park. I'm a very busy guy. Just graduated from Winston-Salem State a couple of years ago. Got my master's degree from High Point University last December. Very blessed to get this opportunity to be assistant director. Look forward to working with you guys. Also getting ready to get married in the next couple of months. Looking for a house in Clayton. Yeah. So if you guys know of any real estate agents that I can go through, please look me up, please. I'm going to jump right into it. Our summer camp registration is underway. It actually got underway on March 1st. We're accepting walk-in and online registration, and that actually began on April 13th. Registration for the 2010 and 2011 school-based programs that includes track out before and after school. That's also currently underway. That actually began on March the 1st. Let's see, the City of Raleigh, along with several other partners, including Stewart Engineering and Frankie Lemon Foundation, are working on a project to renovate Laura Hills All Children's Playground. The new playground will be named Sassafras All Children's Playground and will still be located, of course, at Laura Hills. And for more information on that, please visit the website www.sassafras.org. Just to get into a little bit about what we do here at the center, some programs that we have. We have weight room membership that's $12 a month. If you guys haven't been, I forgot to tell you guys, look around. Notice the windows, notice the floors. You guys have, were here 3-4 months ago. You noticed that the place had that 1960s kind of feel to it. Now it's more updated, you know, tinted windows, you know, shiny floors, and et cetera, et cetera. New bathrooms. Also, the girls' bathroom is all pink. Christy, the director, Christy Jones, is the one that put that together. So blame her for that. All right, to get back into our programs, Taekwondo class meets every Tuesday and Thursday from 6:30 to 8. Bruce is the instructor. Bruce is real good, real hands-on. I did the class once, said I'll never do it again. Kinder Taekwondo, same kind of deal, except, you know, of course, it's kids. They meet every Tuesday from 6:30 to 7:30. Class fee for that is $25 a month. Also running a cardio fitness class. They meet every Friday from 7:30 to 8:30. As far as what's going to happen this summer, we're going to have a super teen summer basketball league. That's for all of our teen outreach program teenagers. Fee for that is going to be $20 per participant from the ages of 13 through 18. Some upcoming special events. Of course, Mark has alluded to this. May 1st, we're going to be doing our new playground, need volunteers, what was it, 10 to 15 more? So you guys, please sign up. If you know anybody that's interested in that, please sign up. I'll be out here. Christy will be here. We have a DJ, Chris Moore, the director at Halifax, is going to be DJing this event. So we're going to look to have a good time. Registration begins, of course, for that at 8:30. We'll run approximately to around 3:30, so it's going to be an all-day event. Also, our Spring Fest this coming Saturday, that's going to be at Chavis. We're going to have rides, displays, vendors, food for the entire family, and that's going to get kicked off at around 12 o'clock. So that's pretty much all I have. Any questions? Yes, ma'am?
Do y'all do anything to encourage kids to sign up for swim lessons at Long Beach?
Currently, we don't, besides some flyers that, you know, maybe like an optimist might send to us that we're hanging up on the bulletin board. Of course, if somebody comes in and asks us about swimming, we'll direct them to that direction.
I'm wondering if there's anything we could do to get more kids to. We had thought about signing our son up, and
right.
Everybody I talked to said, when I signed up in the past, the club got canceled, and then you couldn't get anywhere else.
Right.
So that's what it seems like.
Yeah, well,
a lot of kids who benefit from.
Yeah. And that's the funky thing sometimes with, you know, city programming is we need a certain amount of registrants in order to run the program so we can pay the instructors. But, you know, that's, we'll have to work on that. I'll say that. Any other questions? All right.
All right, thank you, Jason. And then we'll hear from James Brantley from the City of Raleigh's Planning Department, talk a little bit about Z1809 and what's been happening with this. So turn it over to you, and Bobby, if you want to say a few words afterwards, that'd be great.
I only made 20 copies of that handout, so if you could share, that would be good. We've been warned about making extra copies and filling the recycling bins up too quickly because of our budget constraints.
Recycling is good, though, right?
Recycling is good.
Waste reduction.
This will just take a moment. I wanted to let you know that Z1809, the rezoning case that you recently spent, I understand, a great deal of time discussing, was denied by the City Council. However, the applicant applied to the Planning Commission for a waiver of the 2-year waiting period.
ordinarily, in such an instance, the applicant has to wait 2 years before resubmitting a case. The case is deemed in the short term as being substantially different from the first case, the council can give them a waiver of that two-year waiting period. So in this case, the Planning Commission has recommended that the two-year waiver be granted. It's going to appear on the council agenda tomorrow under the report of the Planning Commission, and that's what the handout is, this excerpt from the City Council agenda, that particular item highlighted in the middle of the page. So at that point, it'll be up to the City Council to, they can either approve the request, deny the request on the spot, or move the request into one of their committees. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that that's something that has sort of bubbled up back to the surface, and I think Bobby is right on it.
Good evening. I'm Bobby Poole. I'm chair of the Planning and Zoning Committee for the ECAC. It was the Outreach Planning and Economic Development Committee before those two functions were split. But this is a matter that we considered for approximately a year or more with numerous committee meetings, two CAC votes, appearances before the Planning Commission, appearances before Planning Commission committees, appearances before the City Council committees, and in each step of the way, the request was denied unanimously. So the request now, Danny Coleman's representative for the owner, is to rezone the property from residential 6 to actually, I think it's neighborhood business versus shopping center conditional use. And from my standpoint, there's no material change. And what he proposes, he was successful with the Planning Commission, and as James said, it's on the agenda tomorrow for City Council action. And so what we would like to do, and I don't know, Mark and I discussed prior to the meeting, I, one way or another, intend to contact various City Council members tomorrow and request that they either kill this matter or either defer it or refer it to another committee or the Comprehensive Planning Committee where it was considered before. Again, it has consumed considerable amount of everyone's time, members of the CAC and everyone else, and I'm unaware there's any change whatsoever in what the intention of the plan is. So what I would like to do is, if y'all are familiar enough with this, is to take a vote, and what I would do is email various members of the City Council tomorrow and say the CAC had voted, ECAC had voted in opposition to the request for an extension, or if not, I'll do so in a personal capacity. I, to be honest with you, I think everyone needs a break for a couple of years rather than spending another year and a half on this case again.
Pending the result of the vote.
Yeah, pending the results of the vote, of course. So, anyway, that's the issue before us. Are there any questions concerning what's transpired heretofore or what the matter before you is? And, Mark, any questions you have? Manuel?
What's the difference in the two?
Not a whole lot. Some setback issues, basically, as far as what we have been told. The desire of the applicant was to build a new and expanded convenience store, basically. So he would still be allowed to do so under the new rezoning request, correct?
I think the only substantial difference, is what I understand, is that the zoning case now would allow residential uses. In the last case, residential uses were excluded,
right,
and the setbacks would be greater under neighborhood business than they would be under shopping center.
And we had encouraged Mr. Coleman to come up with a mixed-use concept, which would include some residential uses as well as retail, potential retail uses, not including the sale of alcohol, tobacco-related products, etc., due to its proximity to Poe Elementary School, and Sally Reynolds, who is principal of the school, has been very adamantly opposed to this request. So we again had encouraged the incorporation of residential in the development scheme. So Mr. Coleman, excuse me, had mentioned that at the Planning Commission, but again, I'm unaware of what his plans are, period. He's not come to us, and he's made relatively clear that he prefers not to come back to us. I think that's an accurate statement. Mark, anything you'd like to add?
Just
in order to take the vote in the CAC, you do have to be a resident. So only if you live in the actual ECAC can you vote.
Okay. You want to go ahead?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
If appropriate, I would request that all opposed to extension or allowing the waiver of the two-year requirement say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed. Okay. Do we need a count of votes? I guess that would be good. Can you hold up your hand, please? Sign me over here.
Opposed to the waiver.
Affirmative to oppose to the waiver.
Okay. Why
are they
disagreeing with this? Yes, we are. We're what we're voting
from the last time.
You can't.
It needs to be worded a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it this way. Okay. Let's take a vote on who's opposed to the granting of this two-year waiver. Anyone opposed, raise your hand. Opposing the grant, the waiver grant, two-year waiver. And if someone could get a count, please.
I think 21. 22, 23.
Okay, all opposed,
all
four are granting the waiver. Same sign. Okay.
Okay. Two.
All right.
Okay.
That'll do it. Thank you.
Let me while I'm up here, go ahead and do my part, if you don't mind.
Very
opposed to the opposition.
Yeah, sorry about that. While I'm up here, two additional quick items. For those that are new, the City Council in, I think, November of this past year approved the Planning Department conducting what's called Gateway Studies. That's New Bern Avenue and Capitol Boulevard doing comprehensive studies of transportation, infrastructure, land use planning, zoning, etc. The goal trying to be to improve the corridors leading into downtown Raleigh, essentially from the Beltline downtown on Capitol and the Beltline downtown on New Bern Avenue. So Mitch Silver, planning director, appeared before us last month and gave a very good presentation on the studies. Where we are currently on the Capitol Boulevard study, that will begin, and both studies will begin in June. On the Capitol Boulevard study in particular, on March 31st, myself and another gentleman convened a meeting of the planning director as well as 25 major business property owners along Capitol Boulevard to discuss that study, which went very, very, very well. There was no commitment to create any kind of entity, which was what we were trying to do, which they would advocate ultimately for improvements to the City Council when it comes to budget time, etc. But it was a very good meeting. The next step is on May 4th, myself and a number of folks will meet with the leadership of the North Carolina Department of Transportation. That is a state road. Both are state roads. So therefore, their participation and involvement and support of these studies is absolutely critical. So Nina Schlossberg, who is a DAT board member here for Wake County, set that meeting up, and this is a very, very big meeting with maybe 20, 25 people. A lot of discussion on a lot of issues, including funding, federal funding sources, and so forth. So that's on Capitol Boulevard. On New Bern Avenue, the planning department's in the process of finalizing the work plan, or it's called a scope of work, which will be done. That study will start in June. So both studies will be occurring simultaneously. There will be substantial citizen input sessions where you'll attend meetings and look at maps and create vision plans and that type of thing. So you'll hear much more about that, but that's the status of those two studies. And they will have substantial impacts on our neighborhoods without any question. So any questions on that item? Yes, ma'am.
Does your committee include residential development or just commercial development?
Both. Development itself,
or it was Lockwood neighborhood.
Have not heard a word. They do have a house under construction down on Dennis Avenue, but I'm not familiar with what.
They purchased the field and came and talked. I think they bought the rights to the field off of Millbank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they acquire the property?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll be more than, I know those folks personally, I'll be more than happy to check on that.
There was three townhouses, 22 townhouses, but I think it's just kind of dropped.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to check on it.
I could be wrong about this, but my understanding of the habitat issue there was the they wanted to do some sort of one-way ingress egress thing, and the fire department shot it down because they couldn't get their trucks turned around in the parking lot. So as far as I know, nothing ever happened to it, and it's kind of in limbo now.
Who's doing the planning for the gateways?
That's an internal, the city's actually doing those. With a bit lack of funding, it's typically third-party consultants, but in this case, it's various planning department members and various other city departments.
Yes, Lee.
I'd also throw out tomorrow night, because I think the zoning will be on the day agenda, but tomorrow night at 7, they'll have a public hearing on that uniform development ordinance, which will impact the neighboring gateway, so a lot of us will be there. Wake Up Wake County site has a lot of information on that gateway plan as well. So.
Good. Okay.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
One other thing I'd also like to mention, I never got a chance to send this out to the mailing list, but I did put up the draft document for the Capitol Boulevard scope of work. So if you go to the eastraleigh.org website, you can download that. And it's got a lot of detail about what the city is looking at right now. And it's, of course, subject to change, but good insight into what the city has planned for Capitol Boulevard. All right. Thanks, Bobby. Let's see. Keith, did you want to give a report on your committee? Okay.
Sure,
Keith Emmerich, we're going to hear from the Economic Development Committee and then go straight to Bianca.
Good. Just take a quick second.
Okay.
Just to get it, keep everybody in the know.
Let's see. So. Hi, I'm Keith Emmerich. I'm chair of the Economic Development Committee, which used to be part of OPEB, but now we are all partitioned in our separate definitions. We met about 3 weeks ago for the first meeting. There was about seven people there. It was a really productive meeting. We're really looking forward to meeting again next week. We discussed three main questions. The main one, exactly what did we view as needing to be improvement within the ECAC? Like, what are we looking to even focus on commercially or residentially? And who do we need to talk to do that? And exactly what would culturally relevant economic development look like in our CAC? So those are kind of the main three questions that we wrestled with. And since it was the first meeting, obviously the world has not changed yet, but we're on our way. It's surprising that we're really happy. There's actually a surprising amount of stuff that's kind of taken off already. In terms of kind of intangible action items that we're working on, different members of the committee. One person spoke with RBC about their, I think it was a Community Reinvestment Act representative, and so we're looking at trying to set up a meeting with that party, and they said they're interested in meeting with the subcommittee, so we're looking forward to that. And also another member of the committee is going to be, or has reached out to St. Augustine's, just because they obviously have an interest with their proximity to our CAC, even though they're not really in the boundaries. But obviously what happens in our CAC influences them. So we reached out to them, and I believe one member of the committee is going to be meeting with them kind of in an informal capacity just to discuss and kind of just to let them know what we're thinking and see what they're thinking. So if there's anything to report back on that, we'd be glad to do so. And we're also just trying to look for ways just to work with people who have an interest in our part of town also, because a lot of the things it seems like that come to us are we react against what developers want to do in our part of town, and whether it's zoning things like Danny Coleman's company he's representing. I think what we're hoping to do is maybe be proactive instead of reactive. So it depends on who you talk to, but it sounds like at times, our CAC has gotten the reputation as denying a lot of things. And obviously, it sounds like that may be happening at the moment. Again, where someone's subverting us. And I think we're hoping to be positive and proactive and see what we can do from our perspective and going to other people and try to encourage things versus kind of reacting against what's coming to us. So, just to try to put some thoughts together. But. Not trying to be negative, but that's without trying to develop something, you have to figure out where you want to, your opinions about where we are and what we're trying to do. So, So we're just trying to reach out and see what people are interested in talking with us and just kind of go from there. So,
do you want to mention when you meet? So.
Yeah, we're setting up the next meeting right now, but the last meeting was on the last Monday of the month, so that would be a week from now. I'm trying to set it up. We'll, assuming we have space to meet here or at the Raleigh Country Club, which is where Christian was nice enough to allow us to meet over there last time. So, and we're really trying to have a diverse perspective about what economic development should look like in East Raleigh. So if you feel like you wanted to come join us, please come talk to me. I'd love to have you. So, thanks.
For the meeting, sure, we can do that. And I've got some business cards too with information on the website and how to sign up for the mailing list and stuff. So if you take one of those with you, you can get signed up and we'll make sure that you know about it.
I'm on the mailing list. I just never saw that.
Oh, for that one. Okay, right. Okay. Yeah, the Economic Development Committee and the Planning and Zoning Committee will soon have their own mailing list where they can conduct business amongst themselves. And anybody, of course, can join that if they want to find out what's going on. And I might actually create a separate list for the Capitol Boulevard and New Bern Avenue projects too, but you know that's further down the proverbial road there. Okay. With that, let's go ahead and welcome our special guest tonight, Bianca Howard from the City of Raleigh's recycling. I guess she's the education specialist, so can't wait to hear what she has to say. Oh, Boys and Girls Club. Yeah, we'll make sure that we get you in here, too. Thanks for being here, too. All right, Bianca starts off.
You leave it before the trash. All right. I know where you work, Lynn. Can everybody hear me? Do I have to use that?
Yes, you
do. All right, sorry. I do have to use that. Good evening. My name is Bianca Howard, and I'm glad to be back. It's been about 2 years since I spoke to East CAC. Those of you who have heard me speak before know I don't go anywhere without my trash. So I will be brief, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. Mark invited me tonight to talk about what's new with Raleigh Recycling. In some ways, not much is new, but in other ways, we've got some very big changes on the horizon. I'll start with two things that are ending very soon. First, who's had a phone book delivered to their house recently? We've seen a lot of those. Once again, we are asking that you not put those in your recycling bins. It's a very cheap grade of paper and degrades the value of our recyclable materials. Instead, we've worked with our processor, Sunoco Recycling, to accept those and recycle them separately. This year, we have 6 different locations where we're accepting this. I'm going to pass around a list, and I'll also make sure it gets up here at the table. So we have a number of special locations out until May 1st. And there's a box at my office at 400 West P Street. There's also a box at JC Park. There's a box at Atlantic Avenue, and there are 3 others. So if you do get any phone books in the next couple of weeks, please consider taking advantage of those to recycle them. If you get phone books beyond that time, you can recycle them all year round at 2 Wake County locations. Those locations are North Wake and South Wake. North Wake is the old landfill off Durant Road, and South Wake is the new landfill in Holly Springs. I'll leave a few of our brochures here. The addresses and phone numbers are in there. We are also promoting the phone book opt-out through a link on our website. So if you'd like to reduce the number of phone books you get next year, please visit our website, and on the phone book page, you can find a link to that to try to reduce that. I think it might be working. It's either that or the recession. Last year, I got 7 different phone books. This year, I've had only 2, but I did do the online opt-out. So whether it's the economy or the opt-out working, I'm not sure. Are there any questions about telephone book recycling? Yes.
I don't have a question, but I have a statement. I went up there, at the old Kmart up on New Bern Avenue.
Okay.
In that parking lot, there are a lot of tractor trailers that are parked up there. And they are where they distribute phone books to people that are delivering them.
Oh.
Okay, I went by there the other day just to find out where I could take my phone books. And the girl told me, just put in your recycle bin. So you all might need to get up there and contact whoever is running that operation and let them know, no, don't put it in your recycle bin. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I still got them sitting, so I said, I'd wait with us. They said you could come.
Okay. I should have told you to bring him tonight. I could have taken him with me. That is good to know, and that is something we should think about next year. This year, the only support we got from the film book publishers was that they gave us a couple of banners to put on the boxes. In the past, they used to work with Wake County to help pay for the collection of the film book. That's not really happening anymore, but that's a good suggestion that we need to work more closely with the delivery people, maybe to make so that they're aware of how we'd like to have them recycled. Any other questions about telephone books? Okay. The other thing that's ending soon, besides the phone book collection, is Raleigh Recycle and Win. How many of you remember getting a sticker, a mailer like this last fall? Okay. I wish it was more hands. This went out to all the addresses we could verify that were our customers. Our customers in single-family houses and townhouses who have garbage pickup with the big green cart. So we mailed, about 106,000 of these out. We've been, ever since November, we've been driving around in a Prius that was loaned to us by Coca-Cola, and we've been snooping through people's bins. So if you ever think you've seen me in your neighborhood looking for your bin, you probably have, because I'm one of the people who does surprise patrol. This goes on just for two more weeks, this week and next week. So it's not too late. If you have a green bin and you don't have a sticker and you want to have the chance to win a $50 gift card from Harris Teeter, take a sticker tonight. We're still checking bins for the next 2 weeks.
Donald Ross.
I think something in the back. Now, why are we doing this? The reason we did this was one, to get people re-energized about recycling. Those of you who've lived here for a while, remember that we've had curbside recycling since 1989. That's a really long time. But a lot of people move here from other communities, other states, other countries, and aren't aware of what we recycle and why, because it's a little bit different everywhere you live, right? So the other reason for doing this campaign is that it allowed us to see what's working and not working about our educational campaign. Remember how I said that in some ways not much is new with recycling? That's true. We haven't added any new materials in 4 years. Haven't added anything to the list. We still take gable top cartons, aseptic boxes, glass food and beverage containers, plastic food and beverage bottles, paperboard, including paper towel rolls and toilet paper rolls, white paper and junk mail. You all didn't know you're getting show and tell tonight, did you? Newspaper, corrugated cardboard boxes, as long as they're not any bigger than 3 feet by 3 feet. Aluminum, actually any metal food and beverage cans, and clean aluminum foil and trays as long as they are clean. That is what we're taking, and those are the only, one more thing, six-pack rings. If you still buy six-packs instead of fridge packs, the soft rings, we take those too. Those are the only materials we want to see in your bin, and the only way you'll win the $50 gift card from the Prize Patrol if you have only those items. Now, I thought this would be hard, right? I thought everybody's bin would have a sticker. I thought everybody would be recycling the right things. And it really opened my eyes to how we could need to do a better job of educating you all about what we take. Because some of you said you got this sticker in the mail, right? You got this in the mail? Now, to put the sticker on your bin, you had to open it, right? And when you open it, you saw, you would have seen the materials we want to see in the bins. Every week, when I'm out doing Prize Patrol, there are bins that are full of things we do not take. Some of the biggest things that keep people from winning? Styrofoam. We have never accepted any form of styrofoam. Maybe we didn't leave it behind, but that didn't mean it got recycled. Styrofoam keeps people from winning. Recycle and win. Another huge problem are any plastics that are not bottles. If they're not bottles or six-pack rings, you're better off not putting them in your bin, because they'll just get thrown out when our bins and our trucks get to the recycling center. So if it's yogurt cups or Cool Whip tubs, don't put them in the bin. If it's, I see a lot of stadium cups, don't put those in your bin. Another really big problem are all those bakery containers that cookies come in from the bakery, deli trays, produce boxes. None of those are recyclable in our program, and you will not win the $50 gift card if those are in your bin. A final thing I see, plastic bags. I see a lot of people using plastic bags to hold their materials. It's great that people are recycling so much. We would be happy to give you an extra bin rather than have you put stuff in plastic bags. We have a special program for heavy recyclers. If you don't want to pay that $6, I can give you a free bin under that program. But that would actually be better than bagging your newspapers or your bottles in plastic bags, because the plastic bags have to be opened at the recycling center, and they wind up in a pile as tall as this room at the end of the day, and they're all going to the Southlake landfill. So if you want to recycle your plastic bags, or even film like this, take them to Food Lion, take them to Harris Teeter, take them to Target. They're recycling plastic bags now. But please don't put them in your bin. You're not going to win the prize, and more importantly, they're not going to get recycled if they go in your bin. I know I've been really negative. All right, do you have any questions about what we take, what we don't take?
Milk cartons.
Yes, milk cartons. I don't drink a lot of milk, so there aren't a lot of milk cartons. But the plastic milk cartons, yes. Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to plastic, we take the soft six-pack rings and bottles. Bottles are different colors, different sizes. They're always smaller at the top than at the bottom, and they usually have a cap that screws on. So if it's a lotion bottle, a juice bottle, a milk jug, a soda bottle, those are all bottles, and we do take those. We want to see your bottles. In fact, it's a state law that all plastic bottles, except those that contain motor oil or pesticides, should not go in the landfill. So we want to see your plastic bottles in the bin, and they do get recycled into new products. Which reminds me, the next part of my show and tell, has anyone seen a sticker like this show up on their trash can? Oh, that's sad. I'm going to pass these around.
What about cereal boxes? Or
cereal? She asked about cereal boxes. Cereal boxes are considered paperboard, and we do take that. So this same sort of material is used for cookie boxes and cracker boxes and chew boxes and pasta boxes. We do want to see that in your bin. Okay, the sticker I'm passing around is another educational effort. It's not just for Raleigh. It's actually for a lot of cities across the state. Since October 1st, plastic bottles have been banned from the landfill. We partnered with some other cities and towns and the state of North Carolina to buy a bunch of labels. And we've been working with some of our employees to put those on your trash can. So if you ever get home one day and see that sticker on your trash can, that's why. It's just a way of reminding you that aluminum cans and plastic bottles are banned from landfills because they should be recycled. It saves energy and money to recycle those. So we have been doing them slowly. We have about 110,000 houses we serve, and a few more carts than that because some people have two carts. So it's taking us a while to get those out. And then we've also been working with some CACs. If you're interested in volunteering to put them on carts in your neighborhood, we'd love to have your help. Right now we're doing them as we have some extra time, which isn't too often, typically on Thursdays or Fridays when our routes are a little bit lighter. So if you do see that sticker on your bin, on your cart, it's not that we're judging you. It's not that there's something in your cart that didn't belong, but we just want to remind you that those things should be recycled. Do you have any questions about those? Yes.
Metal caps come on glass blocks.
The caps are not really valuable, and chances are they are going to come off when the glass gets broken at the recycling center. You can throw them in, but I can't guarantee that they're going to get recycled. It's really, and the recycling center that we use is set up to grab the aluminum cans and the steel cans. It's not set up to capture the caps.
What about cooking oil?
Cooking oil. We did a pilot program last fall in cooperation with public utilities. It was pretty successful. We collected over 800 gallons of oil, but it was just a pilot. And
you
this
the bottles.
The bottles. Oh yeah, we take those. Sorry, I thought you wanted to. I was just going. I thought you wanted to recycle your grease, but yeah, it's the only bottles we don't want to see in your recycling bin are those that contain motor oil or pesticides. We don't see a whole lot of pesticide bottles out there, which is good. I have seen a few motor oil bottles in people's recycling bins, and that does keep people from winning. One more thing. So I said that not much was new. And when it comes to materials, nothing's new. I'll leave these magnets up here to help yourself. These are the items I mentioned. I think I mentioned all of them. And these, again, are the only items we accept right now. So they're the only items we want to see in your bin. It doesn't mean there aren't other places to recycle some of these things. But these are the only items we accept through our contract with Sunoco Recycling. So the big news, who has heard anything about the city of Raleigh going to carts? Anybody read that recently? Yeah, okay. So a few months ago, the city council unanimously voted to move recycling from these little 18-gallon bins to big 95-gallon carts, and at the same time to reduce our recycling workforce by transitioning from a two-person crew like we have now to a one-person crew like we have with the garbage collection in most of the city. So that is happening, but it's happening slowly. It's going to be phased in over 4 years. Starting in July, we will start collecting some of the city that way. And we're starting with the outskirts, so areas like Leesville Road, areas way out, much farther out New Bern Avenue than you all are. Those are the areas where we're already using rear loaders now, which is the kind of truck that's very similar to what we're going to. So that is kind of how we're phasing it in. So it will, chances are you all will not see any change in the next year because we're slowly phasing it in. One thing we've learned with this Recycling Win campaign is we need to do something different. You know, we've been using a lot of words on what we take. We have this thick brochure in English and Spanish that we're real proud of, but clearly, you know, it's not working for everybody. One thing that the carts will have that we don't currently have is they'll be embedded with pictures of what we take. This sticker is something we use in some of our apartment complexes. So depending on where your apartment complex is, your containers might have a sticker like this. I'll just you pass that around if you're going to look at it. So we are in the process of accepting a bid for the recycling carts right now, and the lids will actually have pictures of things we take. We hope that'll be helpful. And we're also, you know, looking again at what we can do better when it comes to education. We've done newspaper, we've done TV, we tried Spanish language television with this contest. You know, so if you have any suggestions on how we could do a better job, I'd love to hear that. Are there any questions about our move to carts?
With the, I know some cities when they do the bigger carts, they only collect twice a month, or are we still going to do it weekly?
No, it is going to be every other week. Sorry, that's a big part of it. So yeah, we are going to be getting bigger carts, so more space to put your recyclable containers in, fewer people, one person instead of two, and less frequent service. It's going to be every other week. When it does come to your area, you'll get a postcard saying it's coming before the cart arrives. And again, we're not looking at doing it in the inner parts of the city right now. We are planning this first year to start with the outer areas.
What color?
that's always a big question, right? It's going to be blue. Right now, we are trying to resolve a dispute between two different cart companies that bid on the carts. But yeah, we are looking at a blue cart. So it'll be very similar in shape and size to your garbage cart, but it will definitely be a different color. Yes.
What are you going to do with the old one?
Ah, that's a very good question. You'll be welcome to... There's more than one answer, yeah. So if you want to keep your bin, you're welcome to do that. If you want to keep it indoors, because you know, you're not going to bring a 65 or a 95-gallon cart indoors, you're welcome to keep it. If you want to recycle it, we're going to make arrangements for that. We already do that right now with our broken bins. So if you have a bin that's held together with duct tape and prayers, you can actually call the city for a new bin, and we will do our best to get that to you as soon as we can. So right now we collect the broken bins that do come back to us, and every 6 months or so we work with a plastics broker to sell those so they can be recycled into something new. And we take that seriously. The bins we buy are also made with some recycled content. Yes?
I'm curious, looking at the size, you say that the bin will be... If you have paper, mm-hmm. then you have cardboard boxes, and you have aluminum, then you have cartons, mm-hmm. and you have the, do you take paper, toilet paper rolls too?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So I showed a paper towel roll, but we also take toilet paper.
And rolls. You said you're going to have one truck now, just like you had. Well, right now you pretty much got that when it comes to recycling, because mm-hmm. what I've seen them pass by my house has only been one person. And they would get out mm-hmm. and, you know, toss, you know. So if you're looking at that size container, mm-hmm. and you say you don't want any plastic bags,
right.
So separating that, is it going to be the same way it does the solid waste come up and
dumped? With the automatic arm. Yes. Yeah, okay. That's most of the city will be done that way. We know there's some areas of Raleigh we'll never be able to do automated recycling collection because we can't do automated garbage collection. So in areas where there's a lot of on-street parking or really narrow streets, we'll have to continue a two-person crew in those areas. But we think, we know we'll be able to do the vast majority of the city with the automated collection. And that is, you know, the cheaper way to do it with just one person.
If you have more than a bit in your bin, what are you supposed to do with the extra?
You have a couple options. If you want to buy, right now, with the little bins, right now you can buy a second bin for $6. You can also use something that's similar in size and shape like a laundry basket. So we're happy to pick that up. We just ask that you use something that has handles. And a laundry basket is a good example. If you use something like a tall, narrow trash can, that's not quite as safe for our crews to lift. And you know, right now they're collecting plastic bags, but the inefficiency comes at the recycling center. Every one of those has to be opened before the materials can go through the conveyor belts and the machines to be sorted. Great. And speaking of sorting, if you've ever wanted to see where your recyclables go, I do give tours. So if you're interested, seriously, you know, date night or date afternoon. Date afternoon, because it has to be during the day. But we do, as part of our educational program, we try to give a tour there every quarter. So if you're interested, you know, sign up. If you're on our email list, you'll hear about it when the next one's scheduled. If you're a scout leader or a church leader, a book club leader, and just want to go, let me know, and I'd be happy to arrange a tour for you. Are there any other questions about what we take? Just for fun, I've got some Earth Day tattoos. I'll put those up. Temporary tattoos. I will put those on so you can be ready for Earth Day, which is Thursday. Any other questions for me?
I have one.
Yes.
When do you guys pick up?
We pick up recycling on the same day as your garbage if you have us if you have a green bin. At apartments, we pick up once a week. It's not necessarily the same day every week, but we pick up once a week. Great. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bianca. Yeah, she doesn't have somebody to pick up for her, so she has to do herself. Good stuff. All right. Thank you very much. Informative as always. And for our last presentation, sort of special guests, we have the Wake Boys and Girls Club who've agreed to be here. We've got Miguel and Nikki who are going to come up and tell us a little bit about what they do, and we're happy to have them. Let's give them a hand.
Thank you, guys. As he just said, my name is Miguel Tabor, and this is Nikki Graves. And we represent the Boys and Girls Club of Wake County. And we wanted to come here and share with you guys tonight about the Boys and Girls Club of Wake County. I'm pretty sure you guys, a lot of guys that live in the community, don't know anything about the club. So we just want to talk a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club. First off, we're a youth development agency. We have 7 clubs in Wake County. 2 of the clubs, Nikki and I represent here in Raleigh. She represents the Raleigh Girls Club, and I represent the Raleigh Boys Club. Things that I like to talk to people about in regards to the club is it's a safe place for kids to come, a place for the kids to grow, and a place for the kids to come and, you know, learn different values about life. Nikki's been in the organization a little longer than I have, so she can share a lot of stories about the club from her experience dealing with an all-girls club.
Like Miguel said, I've been around here for almost 10 years, will be November 1st. I've worked with numerous amounts of girls. Right now at the Girls Club, I have 793 registered members on a daily basis. I see anywhere from 187 to 200 girls a day, and they come from about 20 different schools. We do offer a large variety of programs. A lot of them are run by myself, part-time staff, as well as volunteers. One thing that is unique about the Boys and Girls Clubs that it is $7.50 a year for a kid to come to the club. That's all we charge. If they come during the summertime, we do charge a little bit extra. It's $25 a week or $5 a day, and they only pay for the days that they attend. We are open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the summertime. During the school year, we're open from 2:30 until 8, and anytime school is out, we're open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So as you can hear, you know, Miguel grew up in the clubs. I've been around for 10 years. Boys and Girls Clubs has been a constant in the community, and we're here to help, you know, we're here to help young people. And if you know young people that want to be in the clubs, that are willing to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of them, and that are willing to follow the rules and ready to be challenged, then, you know, suggest them to come to the Boys and Girls Clubs. I have brochures up here that tell what the clubs are about, the programs that we offer, the seven clubs that we have. Like Miguel said, we have seven clubs in Wake County, and we have over 4,000 kids signed up just throughout Wake County. We also brought summer registration forms if you have young people, grandchildren that you want to get signed up, as well as membership applications for you all to take. If you're interested, we'll give you more details. I have an orientation this Thursday night at 6:30. You have one, is it Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Wednesday night at 6:30. So everybody that comes to the club has to go through an orientation. Just as you're sitting here now, we'll go over rules and expectations with the parents, and we'll take the kids around the club and do expectations with them as well.
One more thing I would like to say, and to kind of piggyback off of what Nikki just discussed with you guys, we want the club to be a staple in this community, and we really appreciate, you know, Mark, you know, giving us this opportunity to come share with you guys about the club and what we have to offer in this community. And also,
you don't remember my name.
I'm sorry, I don't remember your name.
That's all right.
But you have a grandson that
yeah.
comes to the Boys Club, and she's a really big supporter of the Boys Club, and she's one of the reasons that we're here tonight, and we want to thank her for, you know, opening up, you know, our minds and our ideas, you know, about the community here here in Raleigh.
Thank you. I'd like people know that I did submit you all for a grant to be given, so we can get some of those things that when we had the, I didn't come last month, the month before last, when you all first came, and we're asking, you know, I saw a need there at the club that, you know, a lot of things need to be done, you know, as far as renovation and doing that. So I submitted them to a foundation for a possible grant. Haven't heard from them yet, but it's there, so we're working on it. And I appreciate you all coming. I appreciate Mark inviting you back in. Keep on coming. And my name is Deborah.
I'm sorry, Deborah. Do you guys have any questions for us?
That's Miguel's fault. I know my parent. That's Asia Hinton's grandma right there.
Where?
I know mine.
that's a girl thing.
Thanks for coming out. Feel free to come back anytime. You got anything to announce, we'd be happy to have you here. So, all right, are there any other things that we want to go over before we... Okay, just one second. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead, Sam.
Comment and request.
Okay.
I missed the February meeting, but it was brought to my attention that my neighborhood has been granted a trash pickup during the month of June, and I think it would be a good idea in the next two communications going out that you will make an announcement, you know, to all communities involved with that curbside trash pickup, and possibly identifying the items that the city will carry away,
okay.
not carry away, so it won't be a problem.
All right.
It's approaching.
Charlene, do you want to address that?
Yes. We'll be sending a postcard about 2 weeks prior to that event, and it'll have all that information on
okay.
there.
Okay. Very well. And one other thing. I think you, the award that you received, Charlie, what was that? I mean, well, not you, particularly, but the community. That's Community Watch now. Is there an application that we need to complete to get those signs so that we can
talk to me, okay?
Okay, we need to get that
call
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can work with you on that. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else have any last announcements? Yes.
Well, I'm not sure if you have time on your agenda. I was on your agenda today. My name is Rita Neal Linder, and I'm from Sarah, Southeast Raleigh Center Incorporated. I can come back another time.
Okay, no, yeah, don't. No.
Did you ask me how much time I need?
Never
mind. Okay.
I'll make this really brief.
Yeah,
because
go
I'm
ahead.
Here, so I want to make sure that I
go ahead. I apologize.
Thank you,
Deborah. Thank you. Well, this is wonderful. My name is Rita Anita Linger, and I'm the president and CEO of Southeast Raleigh Assembly Incorporated. And how many of you are familiar with Sarah? Okay. Well, we are the new Sarah. Sarah was established about five and a half years ago as an advisory committee to Raleigh, the city council. And they would make recommendations and talk about what kinds of things needed to happen in Southeast Raleigh. Well, one of the big findings was that city government doesn't always allow you to do the things that you need to do in terms of change. It's a system of bureaucracy. So they decided that a not-for-profit should be established so that these things could happen. So that has been done. We are now Southeast Raleigh Assembly Incorporated, and I have some things to pass out to you. I just wanted to let you know that we're here. We're focusing on five focus areas: community capacity building, public safety, youth empowerment, business inequity, and housing. And one of the things that we're committed to doing, I've been talking to Mitch Silver, the director of planning for the city, is looking at crime prevention through environmental design. I have some things here to give you. I'll put them on the table in terms of the projects that we're starting to work on. We're really focusing a lot on, let me just give you a real quick overview of some of the programs that we are starting. I've been involved in community development work for about 30 years now. Real excited to be in Southeast Raleigh because Southeast Raleigh is, to me, in many ways, a cornerstone. These communities are really, really poised and ready for change and success, and there are a lot of resources here and a lot of brain trust and a lot of enthusiasm. So we are a flagship nonprofit organization, and our motto is to give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. So everything we do is about sustainability. It's about helping people to access information, skills, and then take that and do something with it. One of the programs that we're starting now, I'm in the process of hiring staff, is we're starting a advocacy program called Negotiating Our Way. And Negotiating Our Way is like a 2-1-1 community system. I'm the only one at Sarah now. I'm the president, yet I handle between 40 and 50 calls a day in addition to setting up the organization. Some of the calls I get are from people who need help and they need it now. I like to tell this story. I talked to a woman about a month ago. In fact, she just called me last week to say thank you again. I have a new friend. She called up to say that her wheelchair broke and she fell and she didn't know who to talk to get a new wheelchair. And Councillor West told her to call me. So I rode over to her house, got her to sign a waiver that said that she authorized me to speak and advocate on her behalf. And I called Medicare, Medicaid, and I called Hub Around, and they're giving her a brand new one of those automatic rolly things. That's the kind of stuff that, thank you. Are busy. We just have to make a small investment. I had a woman who called to say that she had three kids and the electric company was about to shut off her utilities, and she admitted to me she had cursed them out, so she didn't feel comfortable calling again. I rode over to her house, got her to sign a waiver, and made payment arrangements for her. When they heard that the president of Sarah Incorporated was on the line, they were like, we're happy to work with her. But again, it's an issue about making an investment in our community. That's right.
So I'm hiring someone for 30 hours to do that and community organizing work. And I should have them in place by May 15. Another program we have is Southeast Raleigh
Leadership Institute, and that is primarily for Southeast Raleigh nonprofits. We have some tremendous nonprofits here, and as you said so wonderfully, and you're thinking about this, looking out that these nonprofits can sustain themselves, that they become financially viable. Well, we're going to have an institute that will teach nonprofits how to write a grant, how to present themselves to funders, and all the things they need to know to be sustainable and successful organizations and be here for the long term. I've served as a funding administrator on a national level, and I've just finished my third year term as governor's crime commissioner in the state of North Carolina. One of the things that I noticed was that I was familiar with a lot of the agencies applying for grants, and they were wonderful agencies, but they couldn't write a grant. And if I had followed the criteria that was set by the Governor's Crime Commission to select the grants, none of those folks would have gotten money. So I kind of developed my own criteria as best I could in terms of, I know this organization, I know how hard they work, and I would tell them, listen, you need to learn how to write a grant. If I have to drive to Asheville and help you do that, I will do that. So we need to teach our organizations how to present themselves, how to be up on the latest technology. We are going to do that for 50 organizations in Southeast Raleigh for free. And these are trainings that would cost $4,000 to $5,000 for 2 days. It's a 2-day institute. So we're doing that. Another program is relationship-based consumption. And rather than explain that, I'll give you an example as to what that is. You have a daughter, she's getting married. You don't have a lot of money, but you promised your daughter you'd give her a wonderful wedding. You are a seamstress. So you're going to make a dress, and you know it's going to be killer. She wants a really nice wedding cake. You can't afford that. When you realize the woman down the street bakes cakes, and she bakes wedding cakes, you have a conversation with her. You agree to make a dress for her for some occasion at church, and she will make the wedding cake. No money is exchanging hands, but yet there is an exchange and consumption of goods within your community. And what happens is that we teach people how to create a virtual banking system. So there are credits that are made to the banking system. If you can't make the dress right away, there's a credit that goes in there. And so it's this way of empowering your community and keeping your wealth and things within your community, teaching people how to sustain themselves. There's a whole educational component about that, and we're going to be doing that work with Southeast Raleigh. We're bringing in national experts to teach communities how to do this. Jewels and Gems Internship Mentoring and Placement Program. We are developing, I have 14 people who said that they would serve as mentors. We're taking young men and young women and having corporate executives mentor. So these young people will not only shadow the executive, but they will be learning from them. The criteria for these mentors is that they have had to have grown up in less than perfect circumstances. So they have some understanding of what it's like not to have anything, but they are now at the top of their game, and that's what we want our children to experience. So we have a lot of interest in that area. And then we're hoping we're in the process of looking for a grant that will allow these children to be placed in those organizations, those corporate organizations. If a child wants to, or a young person wants to work in a non-for-profit, we'll make that happen too. But our focus is corporate, because we want children to know that they are not bound to work in a McDonald's and that's not to say that that's not a good thing, because many people, in fact, my board co-chair started out as a McDonald's person, counter person. He now owns 3 McDonald's in Southeast Raleigh. So, I mean, there's something to be said, but we want to expand, help young people transform the image of themselves. And so we're doing it through that program. Another program that we will have is an entrepreneurial and empowerment program. One of the things, and national data speaks to this, that women tend to become immobilized and despondent, particularly if they find that they're coming against walls around issues of poverty that they can't get out and they have children.
we're creating a program for them that will allow them to, it's a holistic approach to self-care. They will be able to understand what biofeedback is, to manage their stress levels. They will be also be placed in positions where they have mentors, and they will have job training opportunities and a variety of other things, so that spiritual aspects of growth and development, so that they will have an opportunity to experience what being free feels like and having success. Using our voice public policy and community engagement collaborative, that's a collaborative that teaches people how to use their voice to influence public policy, to influence the things around them that they want to see change. This kind of forum helps a lot. But people don't understand the power that they have to change the things that they don't like. And so we will be teaching them. I have four attorneys signed up, a couple of people from Washington who do nothing but public policy will be coming in to help people write, understand what a white paper is, how to approach a legislature, those kinds of things. So there's a lot going on with us. Just real quick, a couple other programs. We have a mediation, community mediation program, and that's already started. And for people who, the courts are full of complaints, civil complaints, where people are, you know, he's too loud or she's too loud or landlord-tenant. We will have a mediation program that will allow people to come to Sarah. There'll be a third-party neutral who can facilitate an agreement, keep this stuff out of court, and help us empower ourselves to reach our own agreements. If the case has been filed in court, then if the people choose to come to mediation, the court will recommend that, and whatever agreement they reach will be filed with the court, and nobody has to go to court. So this is another opportunity for us to empower ourselves within our community. Social Justice Video Book Club. It's a book club that is video-oriented. Every month we'll get together, and there'll be a social justice theme. This month it's Spike Lee's Requiem, looking at the whole issue of Katrina and how that happened. What resources were available, what weren't. And the people watching will have to develop alternatives to the plight of the individuals in there. Each person who comes up with a viable alternative will get a prize. Not a cheap prize. So that's one way that we're using to empower people, is through video, through social justice issues. And then finally, we have a scholarship program. I'm taking $20,000 out of my budget each year and putting it into a scholarship program where adults and children can apply to a sustainable program. I had a kid who wanted to learn how to be a community organizer. I said, well, you write an essay. And make sure you're writing the essay and not your mom, because you're going to have an interview. The essay is written. There's a team of people that look at the essay. If the essay is acceptable, that child will get an expenses paid trip to Washington, California, wherever training's going on. Because again, the thing is sustainability. Teaching that individual to learn skills that they can come back into their community and use. So we're here. If you want further information, you want to know when the programs are starting up, which ones have already started up, you can call me directly at 996-5715. That's 996-5715. I sound like an infomercial, but if you have any questions, feel free to get in touch with me. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
I'd like to apologize. I put my brain on rewind, and Ms. Linger did several months ago request to be on the agenda, but time passes, and I forgot to put that on the agenda. So I apologize.
No problem. Feel free to take some of these septet books. They're very interesting.
Okay. If I can make an announcement, please don't forget about the May 1st Lions Park Playground build in the morning. Sign up ahead of time, please. Take some food with you. We've got plenty of it. I'm not going to eat it all myself, so make sure you grab something on your way out. Charlene, did you have one final thing?
Turn your surveys.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you turn your surveys in and make sure you sign in. Thanks, everyone. See you next month.
Yeah, I love it. you want to take one, sign up for the mailing list.